Small businesses are the cornerstones of our local communities, and small business owners are hardworking and passionate people who are chasing down their ambitions while there's a lot on the line. So, let Verizon champion your small business dreams. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon, well, they've got you back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
So why do you want to learn a new language?
I'll tell you why. Because ¿dónde está el baño? Can be a very important question at times. You know, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. Fast track your language acquisition with immersive lessons designed to teach you to pick up languages in a natural way. I love the fact that I can go from my laptop to my phone to pretty much anywhere and learn the language of my choice. Not to mention, I'm bringing my communication skills to new heights. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, StarTalk Radio listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/StarTalk. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/StarTalk today.
Welcome to Star Talk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. Star Talk begins right now.
Greetings, greetings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, kids of all ages. Welcome to Star Talk Radio. I am your guest host, Bill Nye. And with me is my beloved colleague and insightful science commentator, Chuck Nice.
Hey, Bill.
And today is some more cosmic queries.
Yes.
Where we attempt to comment and answer your queries from the cosmos. I was going for some alliteration there. And
I think you got it.
K sounds.
I think you nailed it.
But let's take our first query.
All right, so let's just jump right into this. This is, you know what, before we go any further, since we're right
at the top. We hardly started, Chuck.
Yeah, exactly, since we're right at the top of the show, why don't we take a question from our Patreon patron?
Oh, a Patreon patron. So if you're a patron of Star Talk.
Right, through Patreon.
Through Patreon, you have a question. Wait, that's not working. A question, a query.
Uh-huh. And we're definitely going to read it because you have proven yourself and your loyalty giving of your substance to this show.
Yes. So okay. If you support the show, we'll get your question on.
Hey, man.
Dig it?
Kind of sounds a little quid pro quo to me, but
that's
who am I, right? Who am I? I don't judge. You know,
quid pro quo is an excellent way to tie in with cosmic query questions.
Nicely done, Bill.
Hit me the
Nye.
Ball, Chuck. We got to keep moving here.
Oh, man. I was impressed with that, I got to say. This is from Yawa, and she says, a Queens, New York native asking, isn't there a fundamental difference between genetically modified foods and the cultivation of foods? Is there a fundamental difference?
So I think by cultivation, she means traditional hybridizing.
Mm-hmm.
Where you would take the pollen from one plant, shake it onto the eggs, the ova of another plant.
And see what happens.
And you get a hybrid, yeah. Mm. So George Washington is said to have done this.
Sounds sexy.
It is, literally.
That sounds sexy, baby.
No. This is what happened in nature. We have two sexes, males and females.
Okay.
But in fungi, it is believed certain species have hundreds of sex types.
Aha.
And that's a whole nother deal out there in the land of fungus. So what happens
clearly is, in the land of fungus.
So humans have been hybridizing within species, shaking pollen from one plant onto the eggs of another.
Okay.
For centuries.
Shake it, baby.
But we found out that not only in nature, not only do humans now, biotechnologists, have the ability to take genes from one species and insert them into another. For example, the Bacillus thuringiensis bacterium gene into the corn,
okay,
or the soybean, making BT soybeans, BT corn,
right,
which the corn borer eats the protein from the Bacillus thuringiensis, crystallizes in the corn borer's gut, and the corn borer dies.
What?
So that's right. That's the deal. So that's why the corn borer is not a problem anymore. Instead of fighting these pests.
So you let the plant do the fighting for right. you.
Instead of fighting the pests with chemicals of right. death.
We're empowering death. The plant to do it on
that's
its
right.
own.
That's right. And yeah. so you do it as carefully as you can, to be sure. But the other thing that was discovered recently, as I mentioned in our recent show, is that sweet potatoes, in this way of example.
Yeah.
This happened naturally. A virus got its genes in sweet potatoes, the ones that we know and love.
Mm-hmm.
And we supported that as cultivators of sweet potatoes and encouraged that in nature. So it happens in nature, and now we're doing it scientifically or biotechnologically. And the difference really becomes blurry, whether it's like, natural or humans yeah, are doing
right,
it.
Right, because all we're kind of doing is mimicking what nature has already
well, that's
done.
The claim. Yeah, so the whole thing, though, your concern is if you're doing it so fast that you're going to do something in the ecosystem that nobody anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want the so-called knock-on or unintended consequences.
Right.
And the classic
like
example
lizard
of this,
babies or something like, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the Jurassic Park.
That's what I'm saying. Lizard babies or, you know, or an intelligent dinosaur.
Yes, named Charlie, who leads to all sorts of trouble with that.
Right.
That and the unintended consequence that really did happen in nature through humans, we developed this, people developed this herbicide called glyphosate, kills all the weeds, kills all of everything.
Everything.
Except the plants that have this cool gene in them that allows them to grow right through it. We also killed the milkweed. And the milkweed, which I now prefer to call milk flower, is what the monarch butterflies rely on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we accidentally have decimated the monarch butterfly population, reduced it over the last two decades by 90%.
Which is probably a good thing because when they flap their wings over here, it causes a pretty bad storm in Japan.
Oh, this is the butterfly effect.
That's
seriously.
Go ahead.
It's brilliant, Chuck. Really, really good. Really brilliant. So the thing is, you don't want that where you're accidentally wiping out a pollinator,
right.
potential pollinator species.
Right.
So I went to the meeting in Minneapolis, the Monarch Venture, where they got the crazy bleeding heart liberal hippies.
Okay.
Like me. And the corporate pigs, like ConAgra, Monsanto, Dow Pioneer.
Boo.
Well, anyway, they all got together. They all want to bring monarchs back. And they believe that they can by creating this so-called hopscotch highway of milk flowers.
Gotcha.
Growing these milkweeds on purpose.
Right.
In certain tracts of land on the flyways that the monarchs exploit getting north and south.
So, and along their migration path, you purposely put this milk flower. They have a monarch filling station from north to
That's
south.
It. That's it.
And along the way, they're doing a little butterfly horizontal mambo. And we get more and more monarchs.
That's right. So the prediction of the venture, this group that met in Minneapolis, diverse group, people that you would not think getting along are all in this together. I got to say, as an observer, they're all in this getting along. They believe that this year the monarch population will go back up.
Wow.
One test is worth 1,000 expert opinions. So stay tuned and let's see if the monarchs come back. Let's take a look.
All right, people. There you have it. That was a great question. Let's move on to Dave Ross from Facebook, who says, "Dearest Mr. Nye," my God, it sounds like the beginning of a Civil War letter. "Dearest Mr. Nye, the days here have been brutal."
Wow, Chuck. Chuck, come back.
Here we go. Sorry. Chuck. All right. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Dearest Mr. Nod, what do you find to be the best way to explain to people that GMOs are harmless and can actually be beneficial to humanity? This is a guy who's already on your side here, Bill. Are there any dangers to local ecosystems if GMOs manage to find their way? Outside of farmers' fields? This is a great question.
No, they do. I mean, they do find their way outside.
You get a little wind blown.
They get wind blown. Yeah.
Yeah. So can that happen? Can we actually decimate unintentionally neighboring crops because you're using GMOs? They get caught up in the wind, and now somebody's growing them, even though they don't want to.
Oh, this is the concern of certain organic farmers, that these seeds end up in their soil, they get contaminated, and they work very hard to sort them out. With that said, I would ask you, how often do soybeans grow in your yard? Not that much, but
nothing grows in my yard, Bill.
But in agricultural
I have salted
areas,
the earth.
In agricultural areas, people have to be very diligent. But most plants that grow as crops,
okay,
are planted on purpose. That's where the word plant is tied in. So if you're not planting them on purpose, there's just not that much contamination. And the infamous cases where when people claim they got canola growing that flew into their fields accidentally and started growing, but there is substantial evidence that those cultivars were carefully cultivated. This is to say, one guy claimed that these seeds blew into his field, but they really didn't. He really planted them.
Oh.
And so this is where
he's trying to skirt paying for seeds.
Well, by the way, if you watch that movie, Food Incorporated, and this guy's in tears about the seeds, it turns out he was reported by his neighbors who were resentful of him not paying the licensing fee for these claimed to be improved seeds. So I get it.
He's a seed hacker.
He was a seed hacker, which is understandable, but his neighbors were angry about it.
Snitches.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. By the way, Dave, that was a great, great answer, Bill.
You don't have to sound so surprised, Chuck.
So Dave, actually, I want to read this because he says, as an aside, I'm proud to say I'm a relatively new member of the Planetary Society's Discovery Team.
I love you, Dave. The Discovery Team's a level of participation we encourage you all to consider. So we just had a big success, We launched our light sail spacecraft.
Yes,
we qualified the thing, which takes vibration and thermal vacuum testing and all this stuff. And then we got it on a rocket. Then we got it into space. We deployed the sails. We took a picture. Mission success.
Nice. Congratulations.
And next year will be bigger and cooler. I mean, the orbit will be bigger and much more, to me, much more exciting.
All right.
Except we pulled it off, which was pretty exciting.
That is exciting. And you should be proud.
I am.
Excellent. Let's move on to Juan Diego Lopez.
Juan Lopez.
I have to say it like that. Juan Diego Lopez.
You could say it with a Hispanic Juan Lopez.
No. Okay. Juan Diego Lopez.
Okay.
You killed my father. Never mind.
Are you confusing that trauma with a kung fu movie? Because they have a lot of the same issues.
They do. That would be you kill my master.
Those are evolutionary ties where if you're family and you mess with somebody, a family member, it's like the mafia. There's trouble.
That's always, always.
It's trouble.
That's right. You have the right to avenge my death.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. This is, Juan says, hi from Bogota, Colombia. Okay, let me see if I can get this right now. Why is it that the protection of genetic patrimony, literal translation from the Spanish term, I don't know if it's right, is way more strict for GMOs than for actual endemic plants and animals? Both are profitable, but endemic plants often have new chemicals that we can use for medicine. For example, you can take samples of endemic life in Colombia to the U.S. relatively easy. But if you dare to try to bring seeds of alfalfa from the U.S., it's impossible or even illegal. So I think what Juan is really wanting to know is, why do we stop people from bringing flora and fauna from different countries to other countries?
Well, shooting from the hip, you don't want to contaminate ecosystems.
Right? Okay.
But he's asking a sounds like an agricultural policy question.
Hey, I think he is because he's talking about endemic plants.
So I don't work for Pioneer Seeds or Monsanto Seeds, but I imagine that there's something in Colombia where they don't want the man to bring these farm products to their farms so mm-hmm. that they can have their own farms. It's like a tariff. It's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So I'm not an expert on the farm policy in Colombia, but
gotcha.
I'll tell you this. In India, where there's a lot of subsistence or near subsistence farming, in Africa, where there's a lot of close to the bone farming,
right?
Everybody embraces genetically modified seeds because they get much higher yield and they are not subject to these pests and these plant diseases that are troublesome for farmers. So that's got to be part of the thinking for those of you who are voting and taxpaying with respect to the commerce associated with agricultural products. Take it, Chuck.
All right. With that being said, here, let me ask you a question from Chuck Nice. Chuck Nice comes to us from the Argo Studios, Star Talk Radio.
From right across this table.
Chuck Nice comes to us from right across the table.
What's the capital of right across the table?
That would be...
right across the table city.
Yes.
Right across the table Annapolis.
And Cupville, which is located right here.
It's right. The Cupville is right across
right
the table.
Right where that cut is.
Yeah.
Cup is. So here's the thing. As we talk about this, I believe that a lot of this is due to the fact that... there seems to be a great deal of secrecy around GMOs when it comes to these large companies and these multinational agricultural companies. Why is it that they seem to be so proprietary, somewhat secretive, and also they go out of their way to stop labeling from happening, which elicits suspicion from the general public?
You got me on the labeling thing.
Okay.
I told those people at Monsanto and when I was at the Monarch Butterfly meeting at, I guess it was Pioneer Dow Pioneer Seeds, I told them, why don't you just put on there, proudly GMO. Go for it.
That would help.
Well, would it? Or would it have this huge backlash against the people who protest these things? And the guy was singing a song about Monsanto must burn and... I don't know. Would it have a backlash?
Well, no, it'll have a backlash initially.
In the short term.
In the short term. And then people will actually start looking at it.
So Chuck Nice is preaching it, everybody. Bring it on.
Well, no, I'm just saying the natural progression would be you deal with the backlash, which causes people to take note, which causes them to do some research, and then they find out the truth. And if the truth is innocuous, then it's not a big deal
exactly.
anymore.
So I say let the market sort it out. I say this all the time. If people think they can grow organic food – that's more appealing and cheaper and better and so on, then people will buy that stuff instead of the traditional farm foods. So we'll see. I mean, you got me.
Okay.
Why don't they try it?
Why don't they try it? All right, here we go. This is Joshua White from Facebook. He wants to know, hey, Bill, when do you think GMOs will be used to bioremediate contaminated areas like plants that are specifically designed to draw up heavy metals out of soil or bacteria that can clean up underground aquifers contaminated with solvents?
That's a great idea. And so the place to start with that, mm-hmm. making, let's say in this case, bacteria that could metabolize oil in an oil spill.
Okay, now we're talking some serious money here. I love the way you're thinking.
So that would be a really cool application. Yeah. However...
can we do that? Because I'd need some money, because that would be great.
So are you in the oil spill cleanup business?
No, but I
Not
will
yet.
Be. If, I
Not
will
yet.
Be.
So this is a good example of a place where maybe you could take the organic chemicals, and organic chemicals are chemicals that come from organisms, which nominally have carbon. That's what organic chemistry is.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have some bacteria that could metabolize that and then leave behind all the other stuff that comes out of oil wells, sulfur and so on, and let it sink to the bottom of the ocean. Or metabolize that too and make it into some amazing plastic or
right.
have it all stick together in a big oil tar sheet that is much easier to lap up with your oil tar
right.
sheets lapping up ship.
Yeah, your oil tar bounty.
Yeah,
right.
So this would be an example of something that... a place to start. As far as taking heavy metals out of the soil, that's okay. Then you got to process those plants. That might be a fine thing.
So now,
like at a landfill, and
so when you
some
say,
place where you want to build a condominium or whatever.
Well, wouldn't you just pull the stuff out of the soil and then uproot the trees and then use them for something else?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then build your condos right there without having the children at risk of being around all these heavy metals.
Gotcha.
That's a great, I mean, it's a fine idea. I'm not in that business. And I got a feeling, though, there's somebody who is. Man, those guys at Monsanto, I'm not saying it's all about Monsatan, okay, everybody?
Please.
But they spend $2 million a day.
On R&D?
On research. A day.
See,
they spend almost $100 million a year on research, not on shipping their products,
right.
Just on research.
Okay.
And that's, I think they're a victim of their own success. And I know the feeling. Look at you and me, Chuck.
Right.
We're victims of our own success because we've been so fascinating in this first segment of Star Talk Radio
that it's over.
We're out of time.
Get out of
so
here.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back. It's Chuck Nice and Bill Nye. You're listening to Star Talk.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, kids of all ages. Bill Nye here, your host, your guest host of Star Talk Radio. I'm here with my beloved fellow science commentator, Chuck Nice.
Hey.
And today is the next segment of your Cosmic Queries, where we work hard to answer your questions that have come into us from the electric internet out there in the cyber ether space that all the kids are using.
Oh, the kids are doing it, and we're going to do it too.
So hit me the first question there,
okay.
Dr. Nice.
All right, here we go. Coming from Facebook, this is Sylvain Boutigny.
Ah, yes.
Okay. Facebook wants to know, I would be interested in having your insights about genetically modified animals and how important they may be for basic research as well as the pharmaceutical industry. Now, you are opening up a whole nother can of worms here, buddy, because we're talking about animals. Plants aren't sentient. Animals have feelings. So where do you stand, Bill?
Plants are insentient. Bring it on, Chuck.
Yeah.
That is, they don't think.
They don't think.
As far as we know.
That's right. As far as we know.
That's right. Did you ever see the original movie, The Thing? Oh, it's good.
I don't think I did.
Imagine no heart, no feelings, the perfect creature. And it's because The Thing is like this vegetable deal. All right, so We do genetically modify animals, and this we're talking about lab rats that glow in the dark, the little mice.
Or the mouse with the ear on its forehead, the human ear.
Yeah, so these are very important to our research. These are very important to the way humans know our genes. And on balance, I'm in favor of it. And I'm not a vegetarian. Maybe one day soon I will become one.
No, you won't.
Well, maybe. But
you love bacon too much.
I mean, maybe. But I understand, you know, we raise animals to kill them and eat them routinely. So we, by analogy, we raise especially mice for laboratory studies that enable wonderful things. With that said, I'm very sympathetic to the idea that there's a line that you draw.
Right.
And a rhesus monkey is like very similar in to me, in many ways superior to my old boss. So I can understand where you don't want to do experiments on that guy or gal.
That.
Well, you met him. No. So you know who I'm talking about. So I kid because I love.
Oh, that's hilarious.
If you're one of my old bosses out there, just notice that, consider yourself an amalgam. You are the old for Bill Nye, the old boss is a mixture of many characteristics of people for whom I worked. And I remind you all.
Composite man.
Yes. As a manager myself nowadays, people don't quit jobs.
Right.
They quit bosses. So with that said, I think it's still very important for humankind to have access to these so-called laboratory models. That's the noun they use to describe these rats and mice.
Okay.
That we have, whose genes we have modified to understand our own genes.
So now, with that being said, okay, so you're saying that it is important. Should there be a push? That sounded like a very specific kind of push for a second there. Should there be a push to find a different way, or now here's my follow-up, to genetically modify these animals so that as you work on them, they feel no pain? Or, like, do you understand me? Like,
I do. Absolutely.
Suppose you could genetically modify a mouse so that the pain receptors, a mouse is born with no pain receptors. Therefore, it never knows any type of physical suffering because it can never feel that. Should that be the way that we handle it?
That's a hard question, Chuck, because I don't know that you can prove that a mouse would never do that. Plus, would it really be a mouse, and would it be a good model for a human?
Gotcha.
After you changed it? And so the example I give you
is,
okay, I know a guy, not too well, but I know a guy who's in his 30s who wants to have his head frozen so that in centuries hence, they can unfreeze his head and connect it to some future unfrozen head machine, and he will then be able to conduct his life and experience life three centuries from now. With that said, after you do that, can you really replicate the brain combined with the central nervous system? Now, we're talking about mice in a laboratory.
Right.
And so I believe that, like, try to talk without moving your hands, even when we're on the radio. There's something going on there's feedback between your distant nerve endings and your brain. And so I think if you were to modify a mouse so that it felt no pain, I'm not sure it would still be a good model for a person. There are people, I'm sure, who think deep thoughts about this.
Right.
But I don't know the answer.
Yes, and those people are heads in a jar. That's what we're looking at. All right, well, listen, that was a really thought-provoking question, Sylvan, or Sylvain, and we appreciate you for that. Let's move on to Brandon. Wow. God.
You guys, you can't see Chuck's face, but he's... A back he has been taken.
Okay. Brandon,
this better be good. I got a feeling it is.
Agcameron. Brandon Agcameron.
Agcameron.
Okay.
Brandster.
I think I got it. Brandon says, hey, Bill, considering you've been on both sides of the argument on GMOs, can you, in your opinion, I don't know whose else opinion you would do it
I'm very good at mine.
Yeah. List the most beneficial and non-beneficial reasons for GMOs. Ooh, nice one, Mr. He spelled it out phonetically here. Agcameron. So, Agcameron, Mr. Agcameron, here's the deal. He wants you to play your own devil's advocate.
Yeah, good and bad.
Yeah.
So as I say,
this
good
is, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Nye, pro and con.
The good side is we get more yield per hectare or acre.
Okay, one.
So in other words, we have less impactful farming. In other words, we affect the ecosystem less because we'll produce more food on less land. That's the upside of genetically modified.
That's 1-4.
We're using biology to fight pests and diseases rather than chemistry.
That's 2-4.
So that's good. The unintended consequence, the classic one, is either the things you don't know, to be, not to go all misguided military principle policy on you, but the unknowns, the known unknowns.
The known unknowns.
Like, well, you don't know what you're going to do. But right. The one that everybody has observed is the monarch butterflies, where we have reduced their population 90%, not as a consequence exactly of raising genetically modified food, but by using this extraordinarily effective herbicide that has killed the milk flowers or milkweeds, which nourish the monarchs.
So an unintended consequence there.
And so are there ones that you don't know? Are there other insects and pollinators that you affected accidentally by messing up their food source? And the other unintended consequence, and not a necessary one, is by monoculture farming. Enormous tracts of a single type of plant make it very hard for bees as pollinators to get the job done. They got to go out there, do that one crop. Then there's nothing to do, and somebody puts them back in a box and puts them on a truck and takes them to a different crop, and they just get beaten up. They can't handle it. But this is not necessarily.
Then you get bees coming home stressed out.
They do. They are.
Babe, God, what a day. I got to tell you.
That's
you
right.
should have seen it.
Except
stretched on and on forever.
It's a girl voice.
Oh, that's correct, because all the bees are female.
All the ones that are pollinated. Workers,
right,
yeah. So go ahead. Do it again.
Honey, I just can't believe the day I had. I'm telling you, this is just awful. Those
Chuck Nice is Hymenoptera vespidae. Yes, all right. Chuck Nice is a four-winged fly. All right. The unintended consequences are things like the monarch butterflies and this monocultural farming, which affects the pollinators and our whole agriculture system. So these are things that are avoidable.
Gotcha.
So it's good and bad, but it's manageable. And I think it's just a necessary consequence when you're going to have 7.2 billion people become 9.2 billion people, you're going to have to do something to feed them.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, we all prefer the texture, taste, and nutrients from nominally hybridized crops over the last 10,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this modern biotechnological way of modifying is just the next thing humans are doing.
Gotcha. So, all right, that was great to see you argue both sides there. And basically, the biggest problem is the unknowns.
Well, that's it. That's what you want to avoid.
But you can't do it until you do it. You can't know until you do it, though.
But humans have been doing this for centuries. You know, we try this plant. It doesn't work, so we try that plant. And so the claim is...
Believe me, I've been there.
Yeah, so the claim is that you do it very carefully.
Right.
And so for those of you tuned into our previous episode, I talked about these people are able to assay or sequence genes literally 10 million times faster than they could even a decade ago.
Fantastic.
It's amazing. 10 million times. And the reason is people have invested in the technology, engineers who have developed the technology worked really hard on it because there's so much gain to be had.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody prefers delicious corn to not delicious corn. Everybody prefers delicious apples or good tasting apples, not to single out a particular flavor. I do like the Red Delicious.
I'm a Honeycrisp man myself.
I'm down with Honeycrisp.
Yeah.
But I will remind everybody there's two things about Red Delicious that I really like.
Which are?
They're red.
Okay.
And they're
delicious?
Yes. I like my Galas.
Galas are okay.
Yeah, I like the Braeburn.
Yeah, the Braeburn's all right, too.
I'm not a big Granny Smith guy, but I'll choke it down. So anyway, with that said, when it comes to genetically modified food or crops, we just have to be diligent.
Okay. So
and
here's the deal.
That requires regulation. Whoa!
Now you lost me, man. I'm a Republican. I'm all against the regulation of any kind. I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. So I'll watch for you when the light's red.
Exactly. Here we go. Dietrich. Thank you. Dietrich Inswig wants to know this. Kaya. Dietrich Inswig Kaya. That's the name, right? Okay.
D.I. Kaya.
D.I. Kaya says,
do it yourself, Kaya.
There you go.
No, that's D.Y. I'm sorry. Carry on.
There you go. Hello, Mr. Nye. Do you foresee that GMOs will be the sole food source at the grocery stores anytime soon? Meaning, will food be so difficult to come by as the population grows exponentially that all food will have to be modified in some way so that it can be grown and harvested in widespread locations? Well, in other words, are we headed towards Soylent Green, but it's not people?
The answer is we're already there.
Ooh.
Not to get too weird on you, but everything that you eat, with very few exceptions. I mean, you might wander through the occasional forest and eat a nut. Or I remember there were some wild blackberries that I encountered often as a kid. You'll eat those, but generally everything you eat is from a farm where people over the last 10,000 years have hybridized, modified, selected artificially or induced choosing of the offspring so that we got these the foods that we all enjoy today. So the answer is we're already there. Not to be dismissive, just that taking genes from one organism and putting them in another for farming is what we're doing now, which happens in nature from time to time. These viruses work their way into the genes of the classic as the sweet potatoes. This is happening naturally, so we're just doing it carefully and diligently and fast. And that's how we're able to feed so many people.
All right. Now, here's an addendum to that question. I'm going to speak on behalf of
Chuck Nice-Co.
Yes. So is there a possibility or a danger of centralizing our food source in such a concentrated fashion where we harm ourselves by giving too much power to the people that feed the world? I think psychologically, there's a real fear amongst people of that being the case.
So is it, I think I know what you mean. Is it a corporation that you're afraid of?
That's my point, man.
Okay, but you're not exactly afraid of a farmer.
No, I'm not afraid of a farmer because if I don't like my little upstate farmer guy, I'm like, all right, well, screw you, upstate farmer guy. I'm going to go to downstate farmer guy.
Okay, so,
but if the upstate farmer guy and the downstate farmer guy are all one guy, well, maybe I'm in a little bit of trouble now.
All right, I get you. So bear in mind, farmers make choices. Mm-hmm. Now, look, what I sound like, farmers make choices. They can buy seeds from this guy or that guy.
All right.
And like everything else, do you remember Gateway Computers?
Yes.
Everything else, things have gotten consolidated because of international commerce has made it more efficient. And I understand our fear of corporations, but nevertheless, that is manageable through, dare I say it, regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where you would make it so that the marketplace is generally fair. So this is seems like a very solvable problem. But I am not worried about the man taking over the world because farmers make choices. And producing seeds with certain characteristics is very competitive business. And so it'll – and the seed being one example. This will remain – this will be the way it is. You know, Roundup is a famous brand.
Yes, it is. I have some in my basement. I hate to say
no,
it, but I
fine,
do.
But there are dozens of companies, several of them are in Asia, that manufacture a very similar glyphosate salt that is well-suited as an herbicide.
Gotcha.
So it's a competitive business.
All right.
Just that the glyphosate thing was so successful that everybody embraced it, home gardener and industrial farmer alike.
Gotcha. All right. Good stuff, man. Good question. All right. Biff Handy from Biff Handy.
Now, Biff Handy's only got 30 seconds. You want to make this a cliffhanger?
Let's make it a cliffhanger.
Oh, man.
Here we go. I'm going to read it like this. Hey, Bill, because I'm Biff, why is it that we only
from hear... Back to the Future,
exactly.
Is that who you were there? Yeah.
So why is it that we only hear about Monsanto when it comes to GMOs? Are there other companies anywhere else competing with them that do anything differently that might make it better?
Well, they're always trying to do it better. And the big one that Monsanto competes with is Dow. And the seed sign you'll see along the road is Pioneer. They compete with Monsanto head-to-head.
So that's the Holy Trinity?
Are they better? We'll be back after this on Star Talk Radio with Chuck Nice and Bill Nye. Mm-hmm.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome back to Star Talk Radio. I'm your guest host, Bill Nye, sitting in for my beloved colleague, Neil deGrasse Tyson. And I'm here with another beloved colleague. Of course, I mean Chuck Nice.
Hey.
Hilarious science commentator. When we left the last segment,
yes,
there was questions as to whether a company like Monsanto has a competitor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. The big one is Dow, and their seed company is Pioneer, but there's several others, ConAgra and so on, and there's Syngenta, which Monsanto is trying to acquire. And these are seed companies that compete very hard to make better plants, better crops.
Not one of those names made me feel better about GMOs.
Well, not one of you
went from Monsanto to Dow.
Well, this ooh, is, oh, that the got people better. That are in the business.
And then ConAgra.
What do you want it to be called? Farmhouse seed?
Yeah, see, now that's a company I can get behind.
So farmhouse seeds are really nice. They're friendly.
Yeah, you know, and throw a name in there like Wilford. Like Wilford's farmhouse seeds.
Okay, well, that's what they market all that stuff. But I remind you, these farmers, look, I'm not in the farming business myself, except I have a nice garden. Farmers choose what seeds to plant based on the ones that perform the best, not based on gunpoint from a corporation.
Kind of makes sense.
So
what you're saying, there is a market. It is in competition.
And
it may not be perfect competition, but it's in competition.
So think how many car companies there are.
I'm thinking.
Are there thousands?
No.
Yeah, there's a handful.
There's a handful.
And even they talk about
and even
incestuous.
Those handful are owned by just a few.
Because it's a hard thing to make a complicated thing like a car.
Okay.
And it's a hard thing to make a complicated thing like a seed that's resistant to a specific insect. It's a complicated business. People invest a lot of money.
So you're not going to have a bunch of people in this business. It's basically just the nature of the business
itself.
When you
say a bunch, there's a handful.
Right.
And it's very competitive among the handfuls.
Okay.
The thing where the idea that there's a conspiracy to take over the world, I'm very skeptical of because they really are out to get each other.
All right. Okay. Listen, that was actually a very thoughtful answer.
You don't have to sound so surprised, Mr. Nice.
I you're right. I shouldn't. You know, that was a thoughtful answer, and I'm not surprised at all, Bill.
Thank you, Chuck.
Okay, here we go. So let's move on to Joe Gessua, or Gessior. So he's coming from Facebook, and he says, he goes,
he
hey, Bill, don't forget the dioxins. Better address this one, Bill.
Yeah, so dioxin was another.
I put that tone in there myself.
Thank
by
you.
The way.
Yeah. But I think you're in the spirit mm-hmm. of his inquiry, his mm-hmm. query. Mm-hmm. The dioxins were another chemical used, I guess, as a pesticide that turned out to have really troubling consequences.
Okay.
And so they've been curtailed, stopped. But I've met people in the biotech industry, in the seed business, who think DDT was a great thing because it.
Because it did the job.
Well, suppressed mosquitoes
right.
and that suppressed malaria, but I'm not sure DDT is what we all want to be drinking. And so dioxin was even more aggressive as a medical problem, and so it's been curtailed. Just that these companies used to make
deadly herbicides used in warfare, Agent Orange.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were hired to do that, and they're not doing it anymore. I don't know how responsible we should hold them. However, we should learn from the past. Like, don't just make stuff that's amazingly deadly and spread it all over the place on another country and take no responsibility for it.
So, you know, that sounds like a good policy.
But this, once again, Chuck, demands that evil word that is troubling to so many people nowadays, regulation. Mm-hmm. Where we'd all get together and decide what's fair and make people stick to it.
Regulators, mount up. Okay.
Well, in moderation. So
there you go.
In general, this is a solvable problem. Mm-hmm. The seed companies are in business to sell seeds to farmers, and farmers want to buy seeds that they want to buy. And so the market takes care of it. However, having companies make pesticides or herbicides, which have bad consequences, you can regulate that.
I think what happens is, in the mind of the consumer, is you have a company like Monsanto who makes the seeds. They genetically modify the seeds.
They modify the plants to create the seeds.
They modify the plants to create the seeds. And then they plant those seeds. Then they make the food, and they also put the food on the shelf. And I think this is where a great deal of suspicion stems from.
Vertically integrated.
It's vertically integrated.
Concerns
and that
you.
makes you scary. You know, that's
scared.
Scared. Well, yes,
you
thank
are
you.
Frightened.
I'm frightened.
Sitting here is very troubling. I know what you meant, though.
Okay.
It's another adjective related, the same root.
Right.
I got you. But root, pun intended, when it comes to agriculture. So the deal is farmers make choices. They can do business with Pioneer or Monsanto or whatever, and you can buy food from this guy or that guy. But I know what you mean. It's troubling when you feel like you're out of control.
Right, because the whole process from stem to stern seems to be
them. This is why the non-GMO movement has a place.
Okay.
We'll see if that's economically competitive. Like, and you can say corporations are squashing them. I don't think so. I think you'll find that organic farming takes more input than farming with genetically modified crops. And so we'll let the marketplace sort that out. I mean, people make jokes about a certain business, and they call it whole paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because the food is so expensive.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it's
what
grown
it takes
in small quantities with high input. So we'll see what happens in the marketplace.
All right. Okay, so let's move on to Tristan Cooper. Tristan Cooper wants to know, is it possible to genetically modify an animal to receive part of its daily energy requirement from photosynthesis? Now, this guy has gone sci-fi, baby.
Well, there is an animal that makes a living that way, zooxanthellae, the coral.
You are absolute. Oh, my God, I never thought of it, because coral is a living animal.
Yeah.
And it also gets its food from the sun.
So it has a deal with some photosynthesizing organisms inside it, and a deal, a symbiotic relationship. So whether we're going to have green cows, I'm open-minded, but I'm not sure, because you think how much land, how much grass a cow has to consume to make its living.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, in order to get that much energy, the cow would have to be as big as a field. And so I get it. There could be a compromise of a giant solar panel cow that gets some of its energy from the sun and some of it from the grass. But what has happened through evolution is we have cows eating grass.
Gotcha. Right. Okay. So
that's an example.
So it could happen. It's just not
going
to. Doesn't
seem that likely. However, on a much smaller scale at sea, it does happen with the zooxanthellae,
which is the coral. Fantastic. Man, that was actually I thought it was going to be a silly question, but it's actually a very good question.
Well, of course, our cosmic inquirers. There we go. Inquirers are thoughtfully thoughtful. And of course, they're wonderful questions, Chuck. Let's take another.
All right. Okay. Hey, Bill. Are there any true non-GMO foods? In other words, vegetables that just grow wild somewhere, no input from us whatsoever, and they have existed for years and years that way, and we just pluck them up from the side of the road and eat them or whatever.
So, yeah, I, as a Boy Scout, spent some time eating wild carrots.
Wild carrots?
Which are also called, they go by the name Queen Anne's Lace because the flower is quite lovely.
Oh, okay.
And you pull them up and they're tiny.
Baby
they're,
carrots.
Yes, they're the cutest little Tonka truck styled carrots.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And they're barely a centimeter and a half. They're barely an inch long. And you pick them up and they really smell like carrots and you boil, you cut them. Trim them. They're a root vegetable, and you boil them, and you have Queen Anne's Lace soup. It's a thing to do.
Right.
And as far as I know, there's no genetic modification of those organisms.
There you go.
That's by way of one example. And people wander through the woods. They eat the nuts. There are some subsistence tribes
right.
that harvest certain places in
truffles.
The woods. Truffles.
Truffles.
But,
right.
Even truffles, my understanding, are cultivated. They're
oh.
You like you leave this area alone, let the truffles happen.
Okay,
and you go
I didn't
up there.
Realize that.
Well, I mean, I'm asking. And so then there's even if you're a subsistence tribe in a rainforest, you move from area to area and let those areas replenish. So it is not a huge step from that style of life, from sanctuary to sanctuary, getting the food that comes ripe at the right time.
Gotcha.
To planning the stuff on purpose and managing it.
Okay. And P.S., Michael actually says, I'm writing you in for president. Okay.
Oh, that's good. Good to know.
So now it
Who
is time.
Who would want that job? Man, oh, man. Is it time for the lightning round?
It's time! Yay.
We love the lightning round. Hit me the ball.
All right. So our lightning round we're going to do as a potpourri. Okay? Just some miscellaneous questions from everywhere. All right? Here we go. This is Josquatch Stringer. Serious, that's the name, Josquatch Stringer. When can we get a new Bill Nye the Science Guy show? Even a web show, anything. Bill, please.
I'm working on it. I'm starting with Star Talk Radio.
Bang. Let's talk about the space station. This comes from Brian. Let's talk about the space station. Do they get blinded by the sun every few minutes if continuously stargazing?
I think the windows are tinted.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Chuck, it wasn't that funny.
No, it's just. It's,
you have the option as an astronaut of not staring at the sun.
Okay.
And the thing is not aimed right at the sun. In fact, the cupola where everybody hangs out there as an astronaut looks at the Earth because it's so beautiful and fascinating.
Jennifer Holford from Facebook wants to know, when are you two going to discuss nuclear energy? I can suggest several dozen experts who would love to help you out. Why don't we talk more about nuclear energy, Bill?
Nuclear energy has great promise, but the nuclear industry in the U.S. has kind of been, not the most reliable. I used to live in Washington State. Every week there was a problem at Hanford, some leak, some solvent, some something. But look at the country of France.
Yeah.
40 years they've been running 80% of their electricity with nuclear power plants. If we could get them figured out, maybe it's an alternative. However, I, as a taxpayer and voter, would like a little better track record from the nuclear industry. You have 430 commercial nuclear power plants, and three of them have catastrophic failures. That's not good.
Okay. All right. This is Jolene Williamson from Facebook, who wants to know. Bill, are GMOs affecting the honeybees?
Anybody? Indirectly, yes, because monocultures, that is to say our ability to grow enormous tracts of land into one style of plant, has made the pollination of those plants troublesome for bees. They got to show up, they got to work this enormous field or sets of fields, and then they got to go back to their hive and get on a truck and go somewhere else. It wears them out. But it's an unintended consequence and something we could definitely address with careful farming practice.
All right. Jeff Norbury wants to know, a little time travel here. What do you think the most profound scientific discovery of the 21st century will be? We're in the 21st century right now. What do you think? Where are we headed? Where are we headed?
Got no idea. However, I predict that in 100 years, people will know whether or not there was life on Mars, whether or not there was life on the moon of Jupiter, Europa. Let's get it done right now.
Nice. Okay, this is Dave Harrison. What's to say? He says, in your opinion, sir, is the difference between a bad GMO and perhaps a good GMO? Is there such a difference? Is there good and bad GMOs?
Well, sure. some of those tomatoes that were produced were not very enjoyable to consumers, and they don't make much of them anymore.
Wow. There you go. So when they taste like crap, then that's a bad GMO.
Or they're bland.
Gotcha. Wouldn't every strain of GMO need to be medically tested to be sure it's safe for human consumption? And do we do that?
Yeah, we do. The Department of Agriculture does that. That's their gig.
All right.
And they are a government agency that works for the good of all. For you anti-regulation people out there, you got to have some regulation. That the Department of Agriculture is a classic.
Boom.
Now, Chuck, this has been perhaps the most enjoyable cosmic query of my life. And I'm very happy that you are here. Thank you all for listening to Star Talk Radio. I've been your host, Bill Nye, and I'm here with my guest science commentator, Chuck Nice. Tune in to Star Talk and turn it up loud.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.